Hey, Science Friday listeners. This is Jim DeRogatis here with Greg Kot from Sound Opinions. You know, the dictionary defines science as the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural worlds through observation and experimentation.
Well, we define music as the celebration of that world. And every week on Sound Opinions, consider us your personal guides, your professors into all things rock and roll. Whether that's debating the latest controversial Kanye West record or having up-and-coming bands like Parquet Courts perform live in our studio. And there's even the occasional foray into science with such luminaries as Oliver Sacks.
We bring you all of that good stuff for free every week on public radio stations and via podcast. Check us out at soundopinions.org.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, the New York Times reported that the Ebola epidemic in West Africa could be on the wane. Labs are receiving fewer samples to test, ambulances fewer patients. And Doctors Without Borders has said it now has empty beds in clinics that just a few weeks ago were at overflow capacity, with people dying on the streets outside. But despite this apparent lull in the outbreak, vaccine development is still rushing ahead. Two Ebola vaccines are now being tested in humans and could be deployed in Africa as early as December. Not that this case is this case closed just yet, because even though the vaccines work in monkeys, they have yet to be proven effective in humans. And even if they are safe and effective, can we make enough doses to matter? John Cohen is a staff writer at Science Magazine, based in Cardiff, California. Welcome back to Science Friday, John.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, tell us about these two front-runner vaccines. What's up with them?
The first one went into a human for the first time in September, and the second one earlier this month. So they're at the very earliest stages of testing. And if they prove safe and capable of triggering the kinds of immune responses seen in monkeys that were protective in the monkey, then they will move into large efficacy trials come as December, possibly.
And how do they work?
Both of them do the same thing. They have a Trojan horse virus that is presumably safe, that carries in one Ebola protein, one gene for an Ebola protein, and they tickle the immune system to make a response against the Ebola protein.
And how will we know in these trials if they are good candidates?
Well, in the early trials that are taking place right now, it's really just about safety and immune responses. But if they go into West Africa into high-risk populations, the question will be, do people who get the vaccine have a reduced incidence of disease?
Yeah, and these are moving at unprecedented speed in the trial stage, are they not?
There's never been anything like this. I mean, I've been covering vaccines for 25 years. I've never seen a vaccine go into humans for the first time in September and then be considered for an efficacy trial and as soon as a few months later. And efficacy trials will take a few months to get results, but still, no vaccine in history has ever moved this quickly.
Mm-hmm. So how soon could we see them in Africa?
Possibly by April. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be a question of, do we have enough product?
Yeah, and that is a big question, is it not?
Huge question. GlaxoSmithKline is one of the companies, and they're a large pharma company. They say they could only produce about 230,000 doses come April. The other company is a small startup, basically, New Link Genetics out of Ames, Iowa, that licensed the vaccine from the Canadian government. And they won't know how many doses they'll have until these early studies are completed and they can figure out what exactly a dose is. So the quantity of virus needed in the vaccine will determine how many doses they have.
Mm-hmm. Do they work the same way or do they work differently?
They work differently. The GlaxoSmithKline vaccine has a chimp adenovirus as the Trojan horse, and it doesn't copy itself in a human. The other one that New Link Genetics has an animal pathogen called VSV, vesicular stomatitis virus, and it copies itself in people. So that's why it's so unclear what kind of dose you need. And New Link Genetics can either have thousands of doses or millions of doses, depending on what they determine a dose actually is.
And the fact that this one of these vaccines copies itself in humans, does that represent some kind of danger?
Well, we have a long history of using weakened viruses as vaccines. The first vaccine ever that Edward Jenner made from mm-hmm. cowpox copies itself. But yeah, it does present risks. It could be that the virus causes high fevers in people. It's been tested in some humans and at a higher dose, and it does that. It could also jump from humans into livestock, and even though it's crippled and not meant to cause disease in livestock, you know, who knows? So that is a risk.
And any people always are asking, can it mutate into a virus that spreads through the air or easier?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion about that. These vaccines cannot mutate into something that causes Ebola. No way, no how. Can't happen. All they have in them is a surface protein from Ebola. That cannot cause a disease. Mm-hmm. Could they mutate into something that causes a cold in chimpanzees or a cold in humans or make animals sick? Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. What kind of side effects do they have?
We don't know. Early data hasn't been made public. I would expect that the side effects will be minimal based on what's been seen with similar viruses that have been used as Trojan horses in the past.
Are there other companies working on other vaccines besides these two?
There are. There are a half dozen others, but you know, they're at least several months behind. And given that this is a crisis and there's a sense of urgency like never before to actually do something against Ebola with a vaccine, the real question is what's going to happen tomorrow, not what's going to happen 6 months from now. But in the long run, that's a very good point. It could be that these two vaccines aren't good enough or are, you know, mediocre, and that the vaccines that are in the pipeline will come into play later on down the road. Ebola is not going anywhere. You know, it's going to stick around for the rest of history, as far as I can tell.
Is it surprising that we've been so successful in finding all these promising vaccine candidates for Ebola in such a short time compared to something like HIV?
The vaccines have been in development for more than a decade with Ebola. The field moves slowly, but you know, you make a good point. I've been covering HIV for decades, and I wrote a book about the search for an AIDS vaccine. Would that HIV looked like Ebola? Ebola is pretty easy to tackle with vaccines in the monkey model, which gives great hope that it's going to be pretty easy to tackle. Even though it's a ferocious virus, it'll be pretty easy to tackle with a vaccine. Mm-hmm. I think a vaccine will work against Ebola fairly soon.
Do you think it's better to put the work into a vaccine that prevents the spread or something that's easier to treat the disease in people who already have it?
I don't think it's either or. We need both, and both are happening in parallel.
Mm-hmm. What about treatments like ZMapp? Are we trying to ramp up production of that, and does ZMapp work?
ZMapp certainly worked beautifully in monkeys. The humans who've received it, I've interviewed several humans who've received ZMapp. They don't know whether it did anything for them. We don't know whether ZMapp is going to harm people, help people, or do nothing at all. I think it looks very promising. There will not be enough doses of ZMapp anytime soon to make a difference in West Africa.
Tell us why it's so hard to know if a vaccine or a treatment actually works in a person.
Well, a vaccine is, you know, very different in a way. It's trickier. So you give a vaccine to healthy people, and you can compare it to people who either get like a dummy shot, or you can stagger when you give people vaccines so that group A didn't get the vaccine for 2 months, and then you compare the two. And so you're waiting to see a certain amount of disease. Well, how many people who are exposed to Ebola get Ebola? In the healthcare worker setting, at most, it's about 10%. And those are the people who will be at the front line for the vaccine efficacy trials in West Africa. So you have to calculate how many infections are you going to see in the control group to tell you that the vaccine is working. That takes time. And it's entirely dependent on how effective the vaccine is. If it's a really effective disease, you could see an answer by April with only 20 or 30 people getting infected in a control arm.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
It is fast. Now, drugs are different because people are sick. And, you know, if you show that you gave a drug to 100 people and all of them survived Ebola, and you compared them to 100 people who didn't get the drug and found that, you know, 40% of those people died, boom, you know the drug works.
Does the fact that 40% of people who get Ebola survive Ebola without these drugs also cloud the waters about whether the drug is working or not, or whether those people fell into that 40% that weren't going to get it?
That's a terrific problem. We really don't know what the case fatality rate is of Ebola. You know, as we've seen in the United States and Europe, the survival rate is far higher than anything you see in West Africa. We know that with really good supportive care, giving people fluids, electrolytes, nutrition, we can save most people from Ebola. Yeah. So it's a very confusing issue right now.
Hmm. One of the vaccines causes high fever in people, does it not? Is that a problem?
So the VSV vaccine has been tested a few times in people who had like needle stick injuries, and so it's used after exposure. They gave that vaccine at a very high dose, and it caused high fevers in one reported case. Is it going to be used at that high of dose as a preventive vaccine? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. So is it a problem? Absolutely. Ebola causes high fevers. And if you put that vaccine into an Ebola endemic setting, it would make things really, really messy because those people would all look like they had the early stages of Ebola.
Yeah, I understand that. They've had some success with blood transfusions of people who've had Ebola and survived, serum transfusions. Is this a real option?
I'm sorry to be Debbie Downer, but it's a real question mark. We don't know whether there's been any success with those people transferring their serum from somebody who recovered from Ebola to somebody who has the disease. It's promising. It hasn't worked particularly well in monkeys. There's one study with 7 of 8 people who survived, but it just doesn't really say anything. So again, we really have to have rigorous clinical trials to answer the question. No one knows.
Mm-hmm. So to recap, when will the trials begin and when will we might see results if these vaccines are working?
So the vaccine trials are underway right now in the early phases. Mm-hmm. We should see results from the early phases in the next few weeks. And then if they do look promising, they'll move into efficacy trials as early as December, and we'll have data from those as early as April. And then you could see widespread use of a vaccine if everything goes right. Keep in mind that with most medical development, everything doesn't go right. Things go wrong right and left. So, you know, I come at this with a Murphy's Law. I expect something to go wrong. I hope everything goes right. Mm. With drugs, the time frame is unclear with drugs because no clinical trials have even begun yet.
Well, we'll be watching, John. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
John Cohen is a staff writer at Science Magazine, based in Cardiff, California.